Planning committee meeting to order. My name is Howard Chapman, and I am chairing this meeting on behalf of our chairperson, Councilmember Whitley, who is out of town on business. Called the meeting to order. Next item is approval of minutes from the February 5th, 2024 meeting.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the minutes. Any discussion? Hearing none, call for the vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the ayes have it. Public comments. Is there anyone here that would like to speak with public comments for 2.5 minutes on the planning committee meeting agenda? Come on up.
Good morning. My name is Tony Berry, 272 West Coleman Boulevard, Mount Pleasant. And I come before you this morning to speak on behalf of item agenda 4A. We are excited to have an opportunity to potentially bring a new attainable housing community to Mount Pleasant. Kind of a unique opportunity between us and the landowner and the master developer of Carolina Park. So we've submitted some information that we hope is comprehensive enough to share with you our vision for what we're proposing, and we'll be glad to answer any questions you may have today.
Thank you, Mr. Berry. Would anyone else like to speak on behalf or on public during public comments? Seeing none, we'll move on to. I'm sorry.
Good morning. Wendy Bauerschmidt, 1320 Woodlake Court. It's nice to see you again. You all know me because I served as Executive Director of Housing for All when we were working on the Gregory Ferry Project and then as a board member. And I had to step back to help manage a family business. And it's as a business owner that I'm here today to make comments, because I'm here as a business owner who had to make the very difficult decision to leave Mount Pleasant, where the majority of our local clients reside, because we had trouble finding space because of growth controls, as well as, and really because of the difficulty in recruiting and maintaining employees. We did all kinds of things to try to help that by guaranteeing leases for rental, because house rentals are so expensive, and offering down payment assistance, but we ultimately, in order to run our business, had to move closer to where our employees live. And that's why I strongly encourage you to approve this project and really, you know, look at all ways to help, because, you know, people move here because of the great school systems and services, restaurants and shops, and all of those require employees who can't afford to live in Mount Pleasant. And so in order to, you know, maintain the great school ratings that drive real estate values and, you know, the restaurants and great services that we have here, we need a more housing for people who can afford to work here. It's a national problem. There was a community in Connecticut on the news last week that actually found it better to build and give housing to their early childhood teachers because, this is a private solution, and it's a good one. Thanks.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to be heard on public comments? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to item 4A, which is Carolina Park PD amendment.
Good morning, committee members. Thank you. So the item before you this morning is a request to amend the Carolina Park plan development. There also is a proposal, as with any PD amendment to Carolina Park, they also have to amend the development agreement. That public hearing will be held at town council, to two readings at town council. So before you now is the PD amendment for the a property. It's about 12, a little over 12 and a half acres. Here it is in shaded in blue outline. For context, you can kind of see what's going on around it. Off to the left is the airport. Immediately to the left of it is multifamily housing. I think it's the Madison across the street. We have Legacy multifamily, and then there's the Abbey single family. We have Roper off to the side, Costco, and then you can see the schools and Publix in relation to this property. So it is zoned PD, but within the PD, it has designated uses. This property is actually has three designated uses, and I'm going to go here so you can see it a little bit better. So the green is conservation open space. So it's about 4 acres of wetland that is proposed not to be changed or touched. And then the purple is business industry, and the red is community commercial. So that's what it's designated now, that the high ground. And what is proposed is to change the business industry and the community scale commercial from those designations to a new district that's been created. It's called Attainable Housing District. And it would allow, it's a very specific district, it has its own development standards, but it would be a townhouse community, maximum of 100 units, and they would all be 100% attainable housing. One thing I did want to note, and I'll get into it in a minute, on your agenda it says the Planning Commission recommended approval 8-0. It was actually 8-1, and I'll clarify that in a minute, but that was my error. So here's the development proposed. As you can see, they've kind of made it fit into that high ground area so they can preserve the wetlands. It is 100 attainable housing units. When you look at the overall density, it's about eight units per acre. The income would be restricted. It would be a range of 80% to 150% AMI. They would be 75-year deed restricted, and then there would be limits. With that deed restriction comes limits on future resale prices. So as you've seen with Gregory Ferry, when somebody does sell it, there are limits on, they can make a profit, but there's limits on what that, so that is retained as attainable housing moving forward for the period of that deed restriction. So just to kind of give you an idea of what that 80 to 150 looks like, our area median income is what you see here. It's 101,300. So if you look at 80 to 150 AMI, you're looking at incomes restricted to that range. So 77,750 to 145,800. And what that does, if you think about it, is that lower range, that set, that 80% or that starting price of 77, that would allow perhaps a single household income. So if you have a single parent that maybe has a child, they could qualify for that. When you go up to the 150 AMI or that higher income level, what that allows is a dual income. So if you had two teachers that both made say 60, 70,000, or a police officer and a teacher, those sorts of incomes. So that higher level, while it looks really high and not attainable in terms of what we would think is attainable, it does allow for those dual income households to afford one of these units. So what that looks like pricing for the townhouses is anywhere from 300 to 400,000. And just to kind of give you an idea of what's surrounding in that area as far as density, we have the Groves, which is 14 units an acre, the Legacy, which I mentioned, that's a little over 8.5 units an acre, and then the Carolina Park Towns is 8 units an acre. And to give you a little bit of context of overall Carolina Park density, given the total acres and the total units, with this proposed 100 attainable units, the overall density in Carolina Park would still come out to 1.3 units per acre. And just a little bit more information on these townhouses. They are proposed to be all 3-bedroom. There's going to be different styles, but they are townhouse units, similar to what you saw in Gregory Ferry. They're proposing to have 25 be at the 80%, 25 be at the 100, 25 of them be at the 120, and then the remaining 25 would be at that 150 AMI. So that's how those would be spaced out. But all units will be the same. You will not know who your neighbor is or what your neighbor's income is, there would be no difference between the townhouse units. And I think that's all I have. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. And I know the developer is here and is available to provide more detail.
Any questions of Ms. Reed before we call for a motion? Mr. Rambo.
We went over 100 attainable housing units. What are the bedroom breakdowns? Like, are the townhouses two bedrooms?
They're all three bedrooms.
I think they're all three.
They're all three bedrooms.
All 100 units are three bedrooms?
They are. And a couple things I wanted to mention is we did get letters of coordination from CCSD. They stated in their letter that the only school that's at capacity in this area is Carolina Park Elementary School. And by the time this comes online, they will have expanded. So they have coordinated with CCSD. They did provide the town, and I think it was in your packet, provided letters of support from Roper St. Francis for their employees. And then everything that comes in under the Carolina Park, because it's a development agreement, they're never required to do an impact assessment. And it's all covered under that original impact assessment that Carolina Park did. However, they did have Thomas and Hutton do a traffic study. And what they looked at was based on what could go there with the industrial commercial uses versus, and they took a mix, like some scenarios of what could happen under that type of use if it were developed as such, and if it were developed with the 100 units. And I think the closest scenario came out at, the units came out at peak hour, 720 average daily trips is what it was. And the closest one was 940, and that was a scenario of like a, maybe like a medical or a restaurant and a coffee shop. So they did do a traffic study, even though it wasn't required per the ordinance. Great. I did want to say that.
Mr. Rambo,
does the AMI, can you go back to the one where it
sure.
says the AMI does 70 to?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so does the AMI, does that number change? Like,
it does.
Whether you have the amount of dependents you have. So if you have one kid or two kid, does that change that number or no?
It does change that number, doesn't it? It's a family. It's based,
oh, it's
on
based
a family,
on family
of four.
Of four.
Yeah.
But it doesn't actually matter if you have a family of four. It's just.
It's okay. Based on the household income, and the overall AMI is updated every year from HUD. Mm-hmm. So, and this is the 2023 number. But yeah. But these numbers are based on family of four.
Yeah,
I can't believe that's 80 to 100. So high.
Yeah.
It's high.
Could we review the recommendations the commission?
I think they recommended
approval with some stipulations.
Yes,
so I
thank
thought
you.
We might
so
be interested in that.
It was 8-1. We did have one member vote against, and it was because they were unable to see, or he was unable to access the correspondence that was in support of it. So there was Roper, CCSD, several letters of support. He did state after, if he had known the support versus some of the comments we had, it would have changed his opinion. But really, overall, the comments were, it was positive that they were saving the wetlands. There was a recommendation that they look at how they can better tap into that area and make it a real amenity for the residents, whether it be a trail or some different things like that. So the main comments were really about the preservation of that green area and how they can make that more of an amenity to the community. They'll have to have an encroachment permit for their access. So this is just the PD amendment to change the zoning to allow the use. The actual development would go through and it would be reviewed by our engineers, our transportation department, and all of those things. And then any architecture in Carolina Park is, our staff looks at it, but it is reviewed and approved by Carolina Park's own ARB. So,
thank you. Ms. Hyatt?
Now, did the commission, it seems like they had some sort of recommendation as far as if, a person got into some issues and they were going to sell it, or I mean, there was some kind of discussion about putting some special stipulations on.
I think, yeah.
Good morning.
There were a few recommendations related to that, and the developer explained as part of the covenants and restrictions, the limitations on those resales. He would be much more qualified to go into those details, but it seemed and is satisfactory, or was satisfactory, to the Planning Commission. The other restriction that was requested, or not restriction, was priority provided to employers or employees whose work was in Mount Pleasant. We've developed some language that could be placed in the documents in the ordinance that would restrict that.
So we could make a motion here to, if we wanted to recommend, including the Planning Commission's
yes, ma'am,
recommendations.
That'd be correct.
So that language would be included?
Right, and we can write that into the ordinance. That would be, assuming it moves forward to council, we can put it in the ordinance for first reading.
Right, I was trying to remember everything that they had touched on.
Yeah.
I think that was part of it, that
it was limited
to Mount Pleasant.
And we also talked about short-term and long-term rentals. So it already prohibits short-term rentals, and there are limits. So Gregory Ferry does have long-term rental. And it's very specific, though. It's if somebody gets in, maybe say they lose their job and they can't make their payment, but it's very restricted in how long it lasts. They can't rent it for more than what their payment is, and it's for a very short period of time until they're able to sell or get new employment. And so there's already mechanisms in place to protect that sort of, you know, so somebody doesn't come in, buy it, and then sell it or rent it at a higher price. So they just wanted to ensure that those same mechanisms will be in place for this one, and they will be. So no short-term rentals, and only it can only be rented in certain circumstances for a certain period of time. And how would we accomplish targeting people employed in Mount Pleasant?
We would write that into the ordinance. The way, in my opinion, it should read is that preference shall be provided as long as it's in accordance with state and federal law. You know, yes. I can't always predict what challenges would be, but I believe that it is legal to do so. I believe it is appropriate to prioritize, but state and federal law judges may disagree with me on that. So that's how we write it in.
So that's just preference, and then if their job changes the following week, then there's nothing to be done about that.
Can do about that.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if we're going to approve it, I would like to include those recommendations.
Sure. Any other questions of Ms. Reed before we entertain a motion? Not Mr. Rambo. I'm sorry.
If you'd rather there be a motion on the floor first, we can do that if you'd rather.
Either way. Either way.
Well, I do. Can we go back to the map of the, not the location, but yeah, right. Oh, sorry. Two forward. One more. Yeah, right here.
I'm sorry. Right there?
Yes. The site plan.
Okay.
So a couple of questions that I have. So these are going to be sold, mm-hmm. correct? So I'm guessing there's going to be some sort of HOA established with this area. And will the HOA be responsible for maintaining these interior roads and parking areas and green space and all of that?
So it'll be just like Gregory Ferry in that it's a horizontal property regime. So the units will be for sale. And I'd like Mr. Berry to explain how, when the purchase is made, how that's divvied up so that there is money for the HOA and for the maintenance of the infrastructure. And if Mr. Berry can explain that to you, he's much more versed in it than I am.
That's okay, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he got the blessing, sir.
I guess there's two goals that we were able to accomplish at Gregory Ferry. One was to provide what's kind of an initial funding source for Housing for All. You know, their organization is a 501c3. They have a role of promoting attainable housing. And what we did at Gregory Ferry is every time, at the first sale, when we sold a townhome, we took 1% of the purchase price, and that was paid to Housing for All. And Housing for All then would take that money and work with another nonprofit called Origin SC. It's one of the oldest nonprofits in the state of South Carolina. And that's who does the income verifications. So the town doesn't have to get involved in any of that.
So that'll be the same thing at Corona Park, is every time when we sell the first one, 1% is going to go to Housing for All, and that allows them to have a source to do the income verifications up front. Then every time one transfers, that 1% is paid for the buyer each time. So that takes care of that. In addition to that, we're putting 1% of the purchase price into a reserve for the HOA. We're putting 1% of the purchase price into working capital for the HOA. And we're pretty much pre-funding a year's worth of funds for the HOA. So they're starting off on very solid financial ground. And then every time one transfers, that happens again. So has been a little bit of conversation in the community that's like, wow, it's you have a 3% transfer fee. That's not exactly what it is. It's a 1% in kind of an administration fee that will go to Housing for All, because somebody's got to take care of that for the next 75 years. And then we don't want this HOA to ever be in a position they can't, you know, maintain their roofs and exterior. So those are the provisions that would be in for Corona Park as well. And I think real quickly, the two things, one being the rentals. At the end of the day, if town council decided that no rentals would be allowed, that from our perspective would not negatively impact the project to not be viable. We had the thoughts that if somebody does get into position, they may lose their job, and trying to find the next step instead of just not being able to pay their bills, at least if they could go out and rent them. But the way the rents are set, if you buy an 80% AMI unit, you can only rent to somebody that makes no more than 80% of the AMI, and you have to use HUD's fair market rental table. And almost every situation, when you do the math, at best, they're going to probably lose $400 a month. When you take a look at what principal, interest, taxes, insurance, and regime fees are, it's not going to be an investment for somebody to want to buy one and then rent one out, because the rents are going to be so low. So that's something you can do. And then we're definitely, the way we'll market them, we'll likely not even put them in MLS. And we'll hold, we have a project in West Ashley we're doing now, where we actually will help, we held community meetings in West Ashley and made sure that the local workforce knew this was coming. We will likely have more supply than demand. So we'll use a bonfire. We use probably a similar system you guys may use in your procurement, as there'll be a system that when we get ready to start release homes in certain income bands, that'll be communicated out, but it will be a first come, first serve. That's what we've been told. We can't pick and choose, but instead of just going out to the whole world and saying, here's 100 units, I mean, we met with East Cooper last week in our office. So, you know, we'll target the major employers. We'll communicate to the market. We'll have community meetings where people can come and gather information, and we'll make every effort to have as many workers in the town of Mount Pleasant be our homeowners.
Ms. Hyatt?
I see it's for parking. It's 2 spaces per unit. Is there any guest parking on site as well factored in?
Well, we'll need to provide some. This is just an initial yield study. I don't know if this is exactly the way it's going to end up, but we will provide some guest parking, yes.
Mr. Rambo.
Just the final comment I have would be with 100 townhouse units at 3 bedrooms each, I think you're probably going to, especially zoned for Corona Park, which is a wonderful school and a wonderful place to raise kids, I think you're going to have a lot of kids. And I worry that there's no defined like playground or space or something like that. I just would love to see somewhere, and it doesn't need to be something fancy.
Sure,
I know playgrounds can get really expensive.
Sure,
we get into it. But I mean, just a small little piece of a fenced-in equipment with a park bench or something, I think would be a really nice addition to that.
We can accomplish that.
Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay. I have one question. Yes, sir.
I heard that I could make a comment on what he just said. Yes or no?
Sir, we've already done public comments. We're not open for additional comments. But I'm sorry. That's just our rules.
Well, I know.
I apologize.
Rule, but I'll live by.
Yes, sir. Ms. Reed, I have one question.
Yes, sir.
In terms of amendments to the Carolina Park PD.
Mm-hmm.
We did something similar with our Faison Road tract. Mm-hmm. How do these amendments to the Carolina Park PD compare with what we did mm-hmm. for the Faison Road project?
Well, it's a different project. Obviously, the Faison Road one included, it was less housing, but more other uses, ED, and those sorts of things. But they actually, developer took what we put together as far as how we did our amendments and really kind of mimicked it. So it's very straightforward, very clean, very simple to understand. I would just say that it's different. It's limited to just these 100 attainable housing units. So if this PD amendment goes through, there would no longer be allowed any business or industry or commercial uses in that area. It would strictly be the attainable housing only.
Okay. I just wanted to put that out because mm-hmm. we did something for the attainable housing right. in our Faison Road project.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to make sure that this is comparable mm-hmm. to what we as the town did as yeah. well. Thank right. you. Ms. Hyde?
So this amendment, does it lock it in on this lot or it yes. applies to the PD? So if this didn't go through, it could be...
No.
It's the PD's open to these 100 units somewhere else?
No, it's specific to this parcel only.
Okay.
The designation would apply right here on this parcel. So if for some reason this fell through and they couldn't do attainable housing units, they'd have to come back and amend the PD again to do something else on this lot. It wouldn't transfer anywhere else.
Right.
Someone like to make a motion?
I'll move to approve. To recommend approval. Well, actually,
can we include the
question? I would like to recommend approval to full council with including the condition of priority going to Mount Pleasant workers.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, we'll call for the question. All those in favor of the Carolina Park PD amendment as shown and as improved with a recommendation, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Ayes have it. And that's all we have on our agenda today. I'll call for adjournment.